Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the American Academy of Psychiatry and the Law, Landmark Cases in Forensic Psychiatry podcast. In this episode, we're unpacking Kansas versus Crane, a case decided in 2002. This Supreme Court decision clarified the standards for civil commitment under sexually violent predator laws. The question is the following. What exactly did the court establish regarding the level of behavioral control required for such commitment? Let's dive in. The case centers on Michael Crane, a convicted sex offender in Kansas. Mr. Crane was previously convicted of lewd and lascivious behavior and aggravated sexual battery. As his criminal sentence concluded, the state sought to commit him under the Kansas Sexually Violent Predator Act. At trial, a psychiatric witness for the state testified that Mr. Crane suffered from exhibitionism and antisocial personality disorder, conditions that predisposed him to commit acts of sexual violence. However, Kansas law requires not only proof of mental abnormality, but also that the individual has serious difficulty controlling their behavior. Nevertheless, the legal proceedings continued without this finding. The trial committed Mr. Crane, but the Kansas Supreme Court reversed, ruling that the state had failed to demonstrate Mr. Crane's lack of volitional control as required by the Kansas versus Hendricks, an earlier Supreme Court decision. Kansas appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, arguing that the appellate interpretation was too rigid. The U.S. Supreme Court determined that a complete lack of control was not necessary to be committed as a sexually violent predator. In its 7-2 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court clarified the standard for civil commitment under sexually violent predator laws. Justin Breyer, who wrote for the majority, emphasized the importance of distinguishing between dangerous sexual offenders who are eligible for civil commitment and typical criminal recidivists. The court held that the Constitution does not require an absolute or total inability to control behavior. The court indicated that such an absolutist standard would be impractical and could obstruct the commitment of individuals who pose a significant danger to society due to severe mental health abnormalities. The court also held that they require proof that the individual has serious difficulty controlling their behavior. This standard must be sufficient to distinguish between individuals subject to civil commitment and those more suitably addressed through the criminal justice system. Last but not least, the court rejected rigid definitions, instead allowing states flexibility in defining mental abnormalities and personality disorders that impair behavioral control. Justice Breyer stated that this flexible approach acknowledges the intricate nature of psychiatry and its evolving understanding of mental disorders. The court remanded the case, instructing Kansas courts to reassess Crane's commitment in accordance with these clarified standards. The dissenting opinions criticized the majority for imposing what they believed to be an unnecessary and vague, and I quote, serious difficulty, close quote, standard. Justice Scalia argued that the Kansas Sexually Violent Predator Act already provided constitutional protections by linking future dangerousness to a diagnosed mental abnormality. He warned that the majority's approach created confusion and undermined legislative efforts to ensure public safety. The decision in this case, Kansas versus Crane, clarified the legal framework for civil commitment under sexually violent predator laws, balancing public safety concerns with constitutional rights. It emphasized the necessity for evidence of significant behavioral impairment without requiring an impractical standard of total inability to control behavior. That's a wrap for today's episode. Join us next time as we delve into another landmark case shaping our legal landscape. Until then, stay informed and stay engaged.